It's time for the Rose Chat Podcast, a podcast dedicated to celebrating the world's most beloved flower, the rose. Join award-winning gardeners Chris Van Cleef and Teresa Byington as they chat with rose lovers and experts from around the globe. With each episode, you'll gain valuable knowledge and insights to achieve the rose garden you've always dreamed of. Listen now as we explore the world of roses.
Try Haven Brand Soil Conditioners, providing generations of gardeners with a truly all-natural alternative to chemical fertilizers with their line of composted manure and alfalfa teas. Easy to brew and use on all indoor and outdoor plants. Find them online at manuretea.com. It's time to order roses for spring delivery, and S&W Greenhouse has just what you need. From knockouts to hybrid teas, S&W has the best, from Weeks, Star Roses and Plants, and new this year, a beautiful collection of David Austin English roses that are sure to make your garden the envy of the neighborhood. Check them out online at sw-greenhouse.com.
You asked for it, you got it. Access the Rose Chat Podcast app from your iPhone or Android device. Find instructions at rosechatpodcast.com.
Well, hey, y'all, and welcome to this edition of the Rose Chat Podcast. We're so glad you've joined us today. Now, we're excited to welcome Richard Anthony and Brenna Bosch to the show tonight. If you exhibit roses, these are two names that you likely know. They own For Love of Roses, which is an online rose shop that is truly a powerhouse of exhibition-quality roses. Now, Richard is a championship rose exhibitor in his own right with over 100 queens of show. And for those of you who do not exhibit roses, to win queen of show is the ultimate honor in the rose world. Now, five of those queens were actually won on the national level. So I guess you could say Richard knows his roses.
Well, he sure does. And Richard and Brenna are with us in the virtual studio, and I can't wait to hear their story. It'll be a story filled with miniature and mini floral roses, with a little love mixed in, just perfect for this Valentine week. So stay with us.
We'll be right back. There's more Rose Chat coming your way.
Hi, I'm Phil Paul with the American Rose Society. My family has been growing roses for some 50 years. My wife and I have grown roses across the United States for the last 25. There's nothing more breathtaking than a beautiful display of roses in full bloom.
No matter if you're an experienced rosarian or are just beginning your first rose garden, the American Rose Society is here to help. It's a tremendous resource for making your rose garden the envy of your neighborhood. There's even a rose photography contest for members to showcase the best of the best. Each member will be published in the American Rose magazine.
We invite you to become a part of one of America's oldest horticultural societies and the home of our national floral emblem.
For more information on becoming a member of the American Rose Society and on the Rose Photography Contest, visit ars.org.
Welcome back to Rose Chat Podcast, sponsored by Haven Brand Soil Conditioners and SW Greenhouse.
Well, hey, Richard and Brenna, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you for having us.
Well, here in my neck of the woods, it's dreary and cold, and I am so glad that we get to talk roses. So let's get started out with the history of your business, For Love of Roses.
Well, we're just starting our third year of operations. Each year we've been growing, and we're having a lot of fun, and I think that's extremely important. A lot of hard work, but it's also just very, very rewarding work. We meet a lot of nice people, and we get to send a message to everyone around that roses are not that difficult to grow.
That is so true. Richard, how many roses do you think you currently have around there?
Well, in the greenhouse, we have close to 10,000 right now. In our smaller greenhouse, we have about a little over 2,000 mother plants, and that's the roses that we use for exhibition purposes and the roses that we take cuttings off of to start new plants.
Well, Richard, I'll tell you, I'm glad I don't have to prune 10,000 roses. I'll leave that to you professionals.
Yeah, I think we could give quite a few demonstrations on how to prune roses, and we do it very quickly, by the way. We do not take our time.
Okay, you have to tell us. About how long does it take? Is it weeks or is it days? Or how long is it going to take you to do that task?
Maybe 2.5-3 days.
My goodness. Now that is power pruning.
Now, do you use Baldo's method of pruning where he starts at the bottom instead of the top?
No, not at all. Start at the top, work down. During the season, we try to shape the bushes the way we want them. At the end of the year, we cut them back slightly. We don't have anything that's not rough that is growing in the ground, Chris. Everything is in containers, our exhibition roses.
Mm-hmm.
So we actually cut them back in the fall as opposed to doing it in the spring when people have it in the ground. Do it a little differently.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, you said yours are in the in containers. All of them are in containers. So after you get them pruned, what will be the next task that you'll do with all the, of them?
Well, after we got them pruned back after Thanksgiving, we put them in the greenhouse.
So what's going to be the next in the spring? What's the next task?
We'll bring them out in the spring, put in organic fertilizer, prune them up a little more if need be, clean up the pots. A lot of our roses this year we're going to have to repot and go into larger size containers.
So you've got some things to do to get ready. Now, guys, you're one of our Valentine favorites. So tell us how the two of you met.
Well, I did something totally out of character. I met Brenna at the Mini National in Winston-Salem in 2013. And I just walked up and looked at her hand to see if she was married or not. And when I could see she didn't have a ring on, I said, I'd like to get to know you. But she promptly went back to the Penn Jersey table and told eight people sitting at the table, you won't believe what just happened. And I guess the rest is history.
Well, this is a podcast, so you can't see us, but I've met Brenna, and I can tell you why he noticed her. She's very pretty, so you're a lucky man there, Mr. Richard.
Well, she knows roses, and she's a good worker. That is more important to me.
And she loves her roses. Yeah, now, Brenna, go ahead.
I was going to say, as long as they're mauve or orange, she loves them.
Yeah. Well, then that makes me wonder even more about the new rose that's going to be released this year. That's the Brenna Bosch rose. What color is that rose?
That one's mauve, Teresa.
Now, what is it like having a rose named for you? Now, I don't expect that, you know, I don't know what that's like. So what's it like to know that you're going to be selling this rose and it's named for you?
I'm not really sure, but it seems pretty fun. I can't wait to see it on on the rose show table someday, see my name.
Oh, it's going to be really, really special.
Now, is this a mini or a mini flora?
It's a mini, but it's a full-figured large mini along the lines of Arcanum, Bee's Knees, Daddy Frank.
Wow. Well, I'm sure that's going to turn some heads. Now, to me, this would just be the ultimate Valentine's Day gift, is to have a rose named after you.
Well, it was actually for her birthday last year.
Wow.
Well, that works, too. That works, too.
Yeah,
you get brownie points for that, too. Okay, what other roses are you going to release this year? What can we look forward to?
Well, we've got two that I am totally convinced are going to be on everyone's must-have list once they get a chance to see them. We have a rose that was named after my friend Julie Hearn, Andrew Hearn's wife.
Mm-hmm.
That is a soft pink blend. I'm totally convinced that it's going to be in the top 25 exhibition roses once distribution gets out there. We have another rose called Miss Mabel that was hybridized by J.R. Smith out of York, Pennsylvania. This thing is absolutely gorgeous. Another one that's going to be, in my opinion, a top 25 rose. I've been growing it for 2 years now and have absolutely fallen in love with it. And the nice thing about this, besides being an absolute queen machine, it has fragrance.
We love hearing that.
And we
so you can have beautiful exhibition roses and fragrance.
Yeah, not all roses have fragrance, but the ones that do, it's quite pronounced. Most mauve roses have fragrance. And we just registered a rose in honor of a good friend of ours, 80th birthday. He's an avid rosarian, quite a photographer, loves birds, and the name of the rose is Tom Mayhew.
Aww.
Now, this
and
is
what
a,
color did you say this? Go ahead.
Well, this is a mauve rose, more of a magenta color, huge white eye. It's a mini flora. It's a single. It typically has five petals more often than not. This is going to be one that the judges are going to stop in their tracks and take notice of.
Ooh. Nice. So you've got a lot for us to look forward to.
Oh, we have a lot more coming on, but these are the, besides Brenna Bosch Rose, these are the four that we're really going to push this year.
Nice. Now, Richard, we just heard that you're one of the most decorated rosarians in the rose world. So tell our listeners, give our listeners a few tips on how to get their roses on those award tables.
Well, I'm convinced there's a direct correlation between the amount of effort you put into growing your roses and the rewards you'll get at the end after the rose show concludes. I'm also a firm believer the more roses you have, the easier it is to win. You know, we have an unfair advantage. We have over 1,200 roses to pick from. But if I only had 100 roses, I would only grow the roses that are in the top 20 or so. And you're going to put yourself in a position that the roses you take to a show are going to be very competitive.
Well, what about getting, okay, you think you've got a rose that's ready for a show. You know, what do you need to do to get it to the show? What are some top tips for getting it from your garden to the show table?
Well, before I had a florist cooler, I used to put roses in the refrigerator. And as long as you don't have any apples or something like that in the refrigerator that's going to give off ethylene gas, you'll be all right. You try to set the temperature above freezing, but as close to it as you can get. You cut the rose when it's somewhat tight, not fully open. And most roses, especially the ones that have more than 25 petals, they're going to hold for 3 or 4 days. Some roses will last a week, 10 days. You take the rose whirl away. That rose will last 2 weeks. You can take it to a rose show, win on Saturday, take it home, and go back and win on the next Saturday. Joy is the same way. I mean, they just last and last and last. You know, the longer a rose will last on the bush, typically the longer it's going to last in your cooler or in the house. If you don't have a cooler, what I first started doing, I would take roses down to the basement. I would turn the air conditioning on so the basement would get cooler. And I would put ice in the containers that I stored the roses in. That slows everything down. But there you go, 2-3 days maximum.
Well, Richard, I can tell you I learned that lesson about having fruit in your refrigerator with roses the hard way.
Yeah. I think most people have, unfortunately. But I can honestly tell you one thing. Every rose that we've ever won with nationally has been cut the day before the show, has not gone into a cooler.
Wow. Yeah. That's good news that you don't have to always get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and pick the winner.
I also believe that you cut the rose when it's ready. You don't cut it early in the morning. You don't cut it late at night. Whenever that rose is ready, cut it. That's been a change coming from Ohio to Tennessee because things are different in Tennessee. In Ohio, roses never moved after about 11 o'clock in the morning. Tennessee, I look at a rose at 8 o'clock and think it needs to move a little more. I look at it an hour later, and it's an open bloom.
Is that because of the humidity, or, you know, what's the difference?
It's a combination of heat, humidity, time of year, et cetera. You know, it's a completely new learning experience.
Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned that one of the new roses was a fragrant one. Are there a group of roses that you would recommend that are fragrant for our listeners who want the fragrant roses?
Any mauve rose is extremely fragrant. We just posted a picture of Robin's Star, which is a sport of Robin's Rose, on Facebook a few days ago. And it's amazing the amount of fragrance a five-petal rose actually has. Very, very significant, beautiful fragrance.
Now, do you have recommendations for how to keep your roses healthy throughout the year? Are there certain products that you use that you would recommend?
Well, I'm not certain it matters what products you use as long as you're consistent and faithful. You know, you don't want to take a break. If you're going to spray every Saturday, you spray every Saturday. Now, if it happens to be raining Saturday, then you spray the next day.
Mm-hmm.
You can't give your roses an excuse, well, I didn't feel like it, I'm tired, et cetera. You have to do the work, and then the roses are going to reward you with just gorgeous blooms.
Now, if you're an organic gardener, are there classes in Rose Show where you can enter your roses, or is there anything that they can participate in for the organic growers?
Typically not. At some point in time, I'm confident this is going to happen, but it hasn't come about as of yet. You know, most rose growers, and I'm included in this group, I believe strongly in organics, but not to the exclusion of spraying. And I don't spray with
mm-hmm.
organics. I spray with chemicals,
mm-hmm.
but I feed my roses almost entirely organically.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're doing something right to get them all to the, to get 100 queens of show. I still can't get over that. I knew you had a lot, but 100, I mean, really, Richard, my goodness. So I'm going to have to, you know,
maybe
I'm going to have to just.
Maybe I got lucky.
You don't get lucky 100 times. I just don't think that's the truth.
Yeah, you get lucky once or twice. You get focused
so,
with 100.
Yeah, really, really. Now, Richard, let's talk for a few minutes about the American Rose Society. You're a longtime member of the society, so how do you think they've helped you grow better roses?
I would probably say they've helped me the most by giving me access to a mentor. And this is critical. If you want to become a good exhibitor and eliminate a lot of time and learn a lot, you need somebody to take you under the wing and help you along, show you the tricks of trade. I can't say enough about this. And that came as a result of the American Rose Society and going to rose shows. My third year out, an individual
mm-hmm.
by the name of Jim Zimmerman, who lives in Dayton, Ohio, took me under his wing and helped me immensely. I mean, that first year, I probably drove the poor man nuts. You know, I'm living 300 miles away, but I'm sending him 5-6 emails almost daily. You know, the second
mm-hmm.
year, it was significantly less, and then the third year, it wasn't too much. And he finally told me, I can't help you anymore. And I kind of laughed, and I said, no, you're not going to help me anymore.
Well, I think in everything that we do, it's so nice to have someone who's been there before, you know, someone to mentor you. So, of course, it would be great. Now, is there an official mentoring program that you were a part of, or you just went to meetings and found this person that you thought you could work well with, or how did that get started?
Well, we became friends, and I think Jim is the type of individual that, and I was not the first one he did this to, or the last. He enjoys, like most ARS members, enjoys sharing their love of roses, and I think that's what it's all about. It's sharing, it's teaching others, it's helping others. And, you know, I can go on and on and on about the American Rose Society. I mean, I've heard people say, well, the membership's expensive. Well, yeah, maybe to some people it might be. But, I mean, look what you're getting, the benefits. You're getting
mm-hmm.
a magazine 5 times a year that I would gladly pay $15, $20 for. And then
mm-hmm.
you receive an ankle. I mean, there's 4 specialty bulletins. You have access to botanical gardens all over the U.S. and Canada. You meet some of the nicest people you'd ever want to meet. You have access to consulting Rosarians. And, you know, I could just go on and on and on.
And, people have asked me, you know, why are you a member of the society? And it is the people. It is so nice to walk into a room of people who love what you love, who are excited about what you're excited about. And you hit the nail on the head when you said that Rosarians love to share their roses, whether they're putting them in a vase for you or they're teaching you about them or they're sharing their knowledge. That is just what it's about. And just to walk into a room or an exhibition hall of people who are on the same page and they love what you love, it's just really hard to beat that, don't you think?
I think that's what it's all about, people and the most beautiful flower there is.
It's so true. I mean, from the first time I was introduced to a rose, I fell madly in love, and I've heard this story over and over. Who doesn't love a rose?
You know, it's ironic, too. I think there's probably as many men exhibitors as there are females exhibitors. And
if not more.
You think it's more?
I think it might be more. I see an awful lot of them, and they're awfully good.
You might be right. You very well might be right.
I'm just thinking of my own society. And we've got Mark Nolan and John Hefner. And, you know, they're hard to beat. I mean, these guys, they just grow the most beautiful roses. And I'm not sure we have their equal on the female side of the table. So, I don't know. The guys might have it on this one, at least.
There's two top-notch exhibitors. I know them both well, and they are very, very good.
Yes, they are. Well, Chris, is there anything that you want to ask before we end for today?
No, I think we've covered it. I've been a little preoccupied. I'm out on the ForLoveOfRoses.com website, just mesmerized at all these beautiful minis and mini floras. One thing I did want to make sure that our listeners knew about was the awesome newsletter that For Love of Roses produces for those who love to exhibit roses. I mean, it is a truly a powerhouse type publication that gives you lots of in-depth information on the latest introductions and then information on, you know, some of all of our favorites. So, and I think, Richard, correct me if I'm wrong, but you can go to your website and sign up for that, right?
Did we lose him?
Possibly. If you go to ForLoveOfRoses.com and click on Contact, there's information there you can sign up for the newsletter.
You can also find them on Facebook. They're very active on Facebook, and I'm sure if you contact Richard there, he will tell you how to get the newsletter. Well, time sure does fly when you're having fun, and tonight has just been great. So, Richard, Brenna, thank you so much for joining us on this edition of the Rose Chat Podcast.
Rose's website to discover the wonderful wonderful world of exhibition roses. You can visit them at ForLoveOfRoses.com. Well, until next time, happy gardening from your friends at Rose Chat.
You've been listening to the Rose Chat Podcast with Chris Van Cleve and Teresa Byington, expert rose gardeners who want to help you achieve the rose garden of your dreams. Don't miss an episode. Listen anytime on our website at rosechatpodcast.com or listen on the go via the Rose Chat app on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. Share this podcast with your social networks and join us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram by using the hashtag RoseChat. Join us next time for another edition of the Rose Chat Podcast. The Rose Chat Podcast is a production of the Rose Chat Media Group, Birmingham, Alabama.